You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon. We welcome all you listeners wherever you may be. If you're on the computer, you're out driving your car, listening on the radio, wherever you're at, you're listening to this program, and around the world. Some people pick it up around the world as well. So we thank you for that. And so we just ask you to listen carefully what we're going to talk about today. You may know some of these things, but maybe some things you don't know. And so you want to have ears to hear what the Spirit of God says to you, nothing else. Only what the Spirit says to you through all this is what it's all about. There's so much spiritual understanding and meaning in this that God wants us to know in this day and this hour. It's been kind of neglected for hundreds of years because what we've done to the Bible in so many areas by robbing ourselves of all our Jewish roots that God put in place. And He gave it to the Jewish people so they would understand and they were to give it to us as well. And so we see that as the Bible shows that all the way through from beginning to end. The Jew first and the Gentile second, right, Pastor?
That's God? Right.
That's what the Bible says. And so we're here with you again on another Saturday. We're honored to be here with you, and so we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. But if you can't, we do offer CDs. All we ask for is a love offering. You make out a check, and you make the check out to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries and mail it to Post Office Box 413, Post Office Box 413, and that's in Stuart, Florida, and the zip is 34995. Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
So we're glad to be here with you, and this is here we are. We're right here at Tabernacles, the last appointed time on God's calendar that we're looking at. And so it's very important because it shows the conclusion of everything, doesn't it, Pastor Donna?
It certainly does.
It's a picture of not only Yeshua's birth, but also the, you know, He was the beginning of the kingdom, and He's going to end in that time also. Tabernacles will be a picture, and the Jews know that, of the kingdom of God being established.
We're in the Feast of Tabernacles
right now.
It's
that's
a
right.
feast that lasts for 7 days, and actually till the eighth day. Mm-hmm. which we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about the Feast of Tabernacles. But before we do, I just want to say hello to everyone. And it's just a blessing to be here on WCNO with Raising the Standard. And if this is your first time to listen to us, I pray that you're blessed because we want to bring forth the truth. This program's called
Raising the Standard.
So we want to bring forth the truth of God's Word and also to teach us these things about the Jewish, I'd call the roots of God's calendar. It's God's calendar, and God did give it to the Jewish people, but you know He gave it to the whole world.
That's right.
He gave it to all of us, and we have been robbed. And so I have seen so many people say, you know, I didn't know that. I feel like I've been robbed because you know, the church itself, they don't teach this, a lot of things that you're going to hear.
That's right.
But now there's a lot of people who are teaching about the Feast of the Lord. And they, you know, they're called the Feast of the Lord. They're not called the Feast of the Jews.
That's right.
And if you read your Bible, you can see that. It always says the Feast of
the Lord.
And that would be God, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. That would be God. They're God's feasts, and God planned them. And God planned His Son to fulfill every single feast that that we have, all seven of them, including the Sabbath, which is every week, a weekly Sabbath, every single week, every seventh day, is a Sabbath rest for us, and we should, and God gave it to man, because he knew we needed rest, and God, and we, if we take advantage of the things that God has given us, we will have rest, and we will be strengthened in our spirit, soul, and body. So I want to say hello to you, and say hello to Roscoe and Audrey on Andros Island. And they're building a church over there called the Temple of God.
Thank you, Lord.
And it's almost time for to get the roof on, and that's going to be an expensive job. But we know God supplies. He's already supplied every single need that they've had.
That's right.
If you really would like to put some money where it's going to be used for the kingdom of God,
good soil,
and you would like to sow a seed, or maybe you want to sow an extra seed, even during this time in Tabernacles. You know, we are helping them to build. We send them money. We want to help. We're helping them to build this church, and you know, they don't have a lot of funds, but they're rich in God.
Amen.
And so, but God uses people, places, and things to help people fulfill a vision that they have. And so, this vision for the Temple of God, it's a holy habitation, and they're having church there now in part of the building, because they have sectioned off a little bit with a temporary roof,
the tent was destroyed
in a tent for a long time.
Yeah.
But so they need funds to, we need to get this roof on, and also they need help, so pray for them.
It's a beautiful building.
Roscoe and Audrey Walks on the island of, in the Bahamas, on Andros Island.
On Cox Sound,
so
no less.
Yes, that's the name of the road. So we pray for them, and we say hello. They listen to us all the time, and they have Shabbat, and they're teaching the same thing about God's calendar. And we need to know God's calendar. And I would say that if you like a calendar, I make a monthly calendar, and it's God's calendar. And it has all of the Hebrew days on there, and it has a little Hebrew teaching on there.
Mm-hmm.
And the one word that we have the teaching on this month is Het, which is the eighth letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And it's all about new beginnings, and it has a lot to do with being God having there's a doorway or an entrance. And we need to know how to get into that, go into that entrance when we have, because intercessory prayer is so important right now for our nation and for the people. We need groups, people praying, because, you know, when we pray, and we pray God's perfect plan, but we got to get into the heavens. We got to go get above the principalities and powers and get into the heavenly place and go through the heavenly gate.
Mm-hmm.
So we can hear God, get God's direction on how to pray. We just don't want to pray the way we think. We want to pray God's perfect plan, that He has a plan for everyone's life, and He has a plan for this nation. And we need to pray for our president as well. But if you like this calendar, you can just give us a call. I'm going to give the phone number in just a moment, and we'd be glad to mail this to you. Amen? So I want to also mention that we do meet every Friday at 7 p.m. We have a Shabbat service every Friday. And this week we'll be starting again from the very beginning, reading the Torah. That means the first five books of the Bible, and you read the whole Torah from beginning to end, and it takes a year. So this would be the Bereshit, if I pronounced it right. It means in the beginning. So we're going to start again, in the beginning, right?
That's right.
But we are right now in the Tabernacles, and we have Sundays. We'll have Sunday worship service. And we have set up a sukkah. It's a temporary dwelling place, and we're going to talk about that. And we have our Torah scroll in there, and we had a communion in there on Friday.
A baby crib.
A baby crib. Why a baby crib? Well, you're going to find out why a baby crib, and what this is all about, this tabernacle. So that is all set up, and you can come and you can go into that tabernacle. Maybe you've never done that before, but you know, in Israel and many places in America, and many people that aren't Jewish are setting up sukkahs or temporary dwelling places, because it's a reminder. It's a reminder of the kingdom of heaven,
right.
And it's a reminder of what God is doing here. And he's always had rehearsals. So it's like a dress rehearsal. You know, Passover was a dress rehearsal for many, many years,
until the
time
thing, yeah,
that Yeshua fulfilled Passover. And he didn't change the name from Passover to Easter. No. People did.
Yeah.
The church did.
Yeah.
The church took away the truth.
That's it.
We need to come back to the truth. And, you know, a lot of people don't like to face the truth because the truth sometimes hurts.
Or you
and
have
we,
to change and think
and
another
way. And
we
have to change, and we don't like, we like our traditions.
That's right.
But, you know, God is not into traditions, and
sure
God does not like traditions. And he talks about that in the Bible, too, about traditions of men and men setting up their own holidays. You know, the Jewish people got in a lot of trouble because they set up idols, and they set up their own, they took on some the pagans' way of doing things. But, and you know what? The church has done the same thing. We have done, taken on new things that God has not ordained in his word. So what we need to do is we need to return, and the Bible talks about that. We need to return to the ancient paths. We need to get back on God's plan. And because God's plan is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and God is the God that never changes. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So come Sunday at 11 a.m., we have our Worship God. Worship God, for the testimony of Yeshua is the spirit of prophecy. So come on Sunday, and you can enjoy our teaching on tabernacles, and also you can enjoy going into the sukkah and seeing the things that, that, you know, getting a feel for what it would be like if you were in a sukkah, say in your home or on your porch or on your balcony, or if you were in Israel or if you were in Jerusalem, or if say you were in Bethlehem, you know, all these different places. And, you know, there's Jewish people all around the world that are have made sukkahs, and because they know that this is the time that God had them to do that, and it reminds them of the time they were in the wilderness.
That's right.
And they had to live in a tent, and what did they have to do? They traveled from place to place, but they had to follow the cloud, amen? They just didn't take off and go on their own. Well, that's a lot what the church is doing. They take off and want to do their own thing. Well, we got to follow the cloud. We got to follow God's plan. So when we stay on God's calendar, we can follow God's plan more closely. Amen? So the phone number here in Stuart, Florida, are in Stuart, Florida, and our services are right on Cantor Highway. It's real easy to find us. But our phone number is area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that. Area code 772-285-7007. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the radio broadcast. You know, you could, if this is your first time, or you're driving down the highway, and you can hear us on the internet, or you can hear us anywhere in the world. You can tell your friends and family, and they can listen to us, or you can go back and you can listen to it again. Just go to the program guide, and it will direct you on how to find our program on Saturdays at 12 noon, called Raising the Standard with Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton. Amen? Okay, Pastor Gene. Let's get into this Feast of Tabernacles.
Yeah, I was just thinking about what you were saying. You know, people don't realize we talk about Jewish roots. But remember, the church itself, when it started, was based on what? What God had given the Jewish people in the beginning. So it's really not the Jewish roots. They're the roots that God put in place. And so if he gave it to them, well, we should be honoring the same thing and looking at it the same way. But the church doesn't do that. You know, we've kind of we've laid that aside. But God's whole plan is in this book. And the first covenant is very important. You notice I didn't say the old covenant. I said the first covenant is very important. The Torah is very important also to teach us how to walk with God the right way. It was never put in place to bring salvation. We've talked about that a lot. It was put in place to teach us, once we come to the Messiah, to be able to walk a holy walk with him. So I think about it, all through the first covenant, everything is pointing to a Messiah, a king that's going to come. And the Jews have believed that for hundreds and hundreds of years. There's a Messiah going to come. And a lot of the scriptures we know reveal all that. And so we don't want to get confused, but the church has taken a lot of things that God put in place. He gave it to the Jewish people to teach it and to reveal these things, but we've twisted it and confused a lot of things. So we're in a place right now that we're kind of troubled in a lot of areas because we're not getting the full truth of the Word of God, are we, Pastor Donna? We're laying a lot of it aside. So let's get into this thing, as Donna just said, about the Feast of Tabernacles. So why don't we do this, Pastor Donna?
We want to show you that Yeshua, Jesus Christ, was born during this time.
That's right.
This is the truth. I mean, many things happened during this time in history, in the First Covenant, which set all this in place.
Yeah.
But it all had to come to the time when Yeshua was actually born on the very first day of Tabernacles. And we know, and many people know, that a Jewish boy is always circumcised on the eighth day, even today. Well, he was also circumcised on the eighth day.
Mm-hmm.
And if we realize he was born on the first day of Tabernacles, circumcised on the eighth day, and they call the eighth day rejoicing in the Torah.
Simchat Torah, yeah.
Simchat Torah, which is rejoicing in the Torah.
And who's the Torah?
And Yeshua is the Torah.
That's right.
He is the Torah. So we need to, if we put that thought in our mind, and then we start to fill in the time between in history, and we can prove that he was born at this time. He was not born on December 25th.
That's right. You can prove it in Luke 1 and 2.
That's right. And I opened up right here to Luke. And I know you've got your book.
Yeah, we have an appendix in my book I wrote about the biblical dates of Yeshua's conception and birth.
And Pastor Gene also has a book called Pictures of the Messiah or God's Calendar. And it has every single feast in it. It has what we're going to talk about today. And actually, you could read each feast. You wouldn't have to read the whole book. You can read each feast when they come up.
That's right. Just
it also talks about the end times and how all this is going to come together in prophecy according to the feast of the Lord, not according to some other kind of figuring things out with the Bible. No.
Man's ways.
It's all of these things are going to culminate or come together only by the feasts. So that's why the feasts are so important. For us to know that God's going to fulfill every single feast. He's already fulfilled the first four. He's going to fulfill the rest of them.
That's right.
The last three.
So we've talked about this for years on this radio program, that God has a 7,000-year plan, right from Genesis 1, to show us how God's going to restore mankind and the earth back the way it was in the beginning, like in the Garden of Eden. That's what he said. That's the whole purpose of this. And so all through it, patterns are revealed about the Messiah. You know, the first covenant didn't know it was Yeshua HaMashiach, but we do today, and we're praying that more of them will come and realize it as well. But they have always been looking for a Messiah to come on, the one that was going to, you know, bring the deliverance, and they were going to have God's kingdom would be established on the earth. And that's what Tabernacles is all about. It's a picture, a pattern of the kingdom of God. It's interesting. It's the eight, you know, Tabernacles has those 8 days we're talking about. So here we are. We're moving along in this time, and we're going to come up to this point one time soon. And the kingdom will be established. That's why in Israel, during the Feast of Tabernacles, the Jewish people are so exuberant and happy and dancing and singing in the streets and all, because they know one day it's going to be the real thing. It's not going to be a rehearsal any longer. It's going to be the real thing of the establishment of the kingdom of God. And we just went through the Day of Atonement, and we know there's 5 days from the Day of Atonement to Tabernacles. Well, we're in Tabernacles, and so what's going to happen with that? He's showing us the joy and the privilege that we have to be in the kingdom of God, but there's only one way to get into the kingdom of God, and we know that's only through Yeshua HaMashiach. He's the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father except by Him. And that's the only way. So that's what this program is about. We're lifting up Yeshua. We're lifting up the Messiah, our wonderful, precious Savior that came and took us out of our sinful life and brought us into the light of righteousness. And so we thank You, Father God, for Your Son. And it's He. It's all about Him. I'm always thinking about that scripture over in 2 Corinthians where it says, the man that knew no sin, who was that? That was Yeshua, knew no sin, became our sacrifice, our bloody sacrifice, that we might be made what? The righteousness of God. Hallelujah. So that might is an if. We either come to the Yeshua to have His righteousness, or we have the world's righteousness, which will send us straight to hell. So these important times are so important. Each one of them teaches an aspect of God's thought. So there's seven plus the Sabbath, and then we have also the Simchat Torah, which is part of Tabernacles, and it shows you the whole kingdom from beginning to end, and that's what I like about it. So I thought we'd go over, first of all, Pastor Don, let's go over Leviticus chapter 23, where all these are talked about, and let's read the part about Tabernacles, and have ears to hear what the Spirit of God's going to say to you today. All right? Okay, I'm in Leviticus chapter 24. Where do I want to start at? Let's start in verse 33. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. So He tells you it's Tabernacles, and it tells you when. Well, when's the seventh month? It's the month of Tishri on the lunar calendar, okay? And the 15th day, it's in the middle of the month. Guess what? It's a full moon, isn't it, Pastor Donna?
Amen.
Revealing the glory. That's why Yeshua was born on a full moon. Hallelujah. 35. On the first day shall be a holy convocation. That means it's going to be a time, it's a high Sabbath, going to be set aside. Ye shall do no servile work therein. For 7 days ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. On the eighth day shall be a holy convocation again, a high Sabbath unto you, and ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a solemn assembly, and ye shall do no servile work therein. These are the feasts of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, to offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, a burnt offering and a meat offering, a sacrifice and drink offerings, everything upon this day. Besides the Sabbaths of the Lord, and besides your gifts, and beside all your vows, and beside all your freewill offerings, which you give unto the Lord. So we know the Bible has, we have a weekly Sabbath. There's what? There's 52 Sabbaths a year, weekly Sabbaths. Well, then the Jews also have 7 additional Sabbaths, which are called high Sabbaths, that all revolve around, guess what? God's appointed times. So we have Sabbaths, plural.
Amen.
Not just a Sabbath, but Sabbaths. Now, verse 39. Also, in the 15th day of the 7th month, when ye have gathered in the fruit of the land, ye shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the eighth day shall be a Sabbath. So he tells you right here, doesn't it? Huh? When he gathers in, this is the time that everything's going to be gathered. That's when the wheat is going to come in. The grapes, the olives, everything's going to be ripe in the fall. It's a picture also of the kingdom of God filling up as people come into the kingdom of God and become part of it. Verse 40, he says, and you shall take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and boughs of thick trees, and willows of the brook, and ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. And ye shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever. Hear that? It was never taken away. Forever. In your generations you shall celebrate it in the 7th month, which is what month? The month of Tishri. You shall dwell in booths 7 days, all that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths. That's why it's called Sukkot. Sukkot means it's talking about a sukkah, a booth, in other words. 43, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. And Moses declared unto the children of Israel the feast of the Lord. So he went into all that, didn't he, Pastor Dale? So there's the foundation of it. That was where it was established. So then we go from there and we find out some interesting things as we go along. And so, Pastor Don, you had some thought you were going to look at there a moment ago. What did you want to read there? You were going to read something out of the Bible?
Well, I thought we would go over to Luke.
Okay.
And we would talk about what happened over there in Luke.
When Yeshua was born.
When Yeshua was born.
Conceived and born, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you can prove this in Luke. It's in the commentary, the book I offer for $25. Plus maybe $4 or $5 for shipping and handling, and you can read. This has been here all these years, and yet for some reason nobody wants to look at it. They look at it this old pagan way, you know. That he was born in December. Constantine changed the calendar and did all kinds of stuff, and they came up with this December 25th at the winter solstice and all that. That's when the Messiah was born. Well, we know that he wasn't. So I hope they don't pop anybody's bubble here. But if you read the Bible, you'll find out those other things that we've been taught in the church for years and years are all false.
Where would you want to start?
I don't know.
It's also good, right? Amen. Well, in Luke chapter 1, it talks about Zacharias, and that and you have that in your book also, because that proves the time that they were in the doing the offerings and doing
That's
the
right.
work in the temple, because every single he was a priest, and they all had to fulfill different services.
During the year, yeah.
During the year. And, of course, he had a wife, and she was, they were old, you know. But, you know, she miraculously she had John the Baptist, actually. She was related to, who's related to Yeshua, because the mother, Mary and Elizabeth were related. And so, she was pregnant. And we know that, he was mute. Because he was actually in the temple during that time when he had a visitation.
That's right.
And, you know, people can still have visitations mm-hmm. from the Lord.
That's right.
And he had a visitation from an angel.
That's right.
And the angel spoke to him and told him that his wife was going to have a child. And, you know, he didn't believe.
Nope.
He didn't believe.
So God being mute for 9 months.
So he was mute for all that time.
That's right.
All that time until it came to the day that the baby was to be born. And, of course, and they said, you know, what's his going to say? Well, they asked, I'm just going to paraphrase this so we don't have to read it all. What's his name? Because they always named the baby. And usually, from what I understand, is a child, when the child was circumcised, that's when the father named the child.
Right.
So, you know, there wasn't really anyone in their family named John, but that was the name. And when he was to give that name, he had to give the name. He had to come out of that place of being mute. So he spoke up, and he said it, and so then he was no longer mute, and he spoke forth that. And of course, we know that the words that, and that even the things that Jesus said about John the Baptist, he had to come first. He had to come, and so we don't have the time to go into it, but it's all in Pastor Gene's book about the weeks that they spent doing their services. And they all had a certain time they were told
time
that they had
year.
To do
That's
these
right.
services.
They had it all up
and
prove
so
it.
It's all in Jewish history. And you know, the Jewish people are setting up now. They're setting up, getting ready for that third temple.
Yeah.
And they are practicing these mm-hmm. things. And they will know. They will know exactly which orders will go in and do the services. And so they're working on that. And many of the things that if you go to Israel, you go to Jerusalem, you can go and you can see all of the things that they have already prepared and already made. And they even say, I think that they say there's 4 or 5 red heifers they're looking at right now
mm-hmm.
Because there's certain things that have to be done. So, you know, we're getting right to this point where we certainly could possibly be the generation that's going to see a lot of these things being fulfilled.
We pray and hope that, Lord.
And,
yes.
I believe that we have a president now. We need to pray for our president who agrees with what the Bible says, and who will work with the Jewish people, and that we will have favor. Our country will have favor if we help them and we work with them, and we don't fight against them, and we don't try to take over their property or have other people take it over or all divide it up and all the stuff that the enemy wants to do, but. We just need to agree with God and what God's word says. So we need to pray for our president. Amen.
Amen.
But Zacharias, he was given a message. And you know, all these things were fulfilled.
To the letter, yes.
And he prophesied. He prophesied as well. And so, you know, prophecy, our name of our church is called Spirit of Prophecy. We prophesy. Mm-hmm. We prophesy over people today because God has a now word for people today.
That's
Amen.
Right.
And so, you know, God's the same. So we need to look at these things and understand that with the things that God did and when he spoke to people, that he still does these things.
That's right.
So God fulfilled that and that child was born. And Zacharias named that child, and he was circumcised on the eighth day as well. John the Baptist was. So that is all in Pastor Gene's book, showing you exactly when they did the work in the
temple.
In the temple,
they were all numbered. They had to be there certain times during the year, and Zacharias was doing his duty when this all happened. When God appeared to him and told him what was going to happen, and he doubted that, so. It was a shame, but he was mute for 9 months, so he mm-hmm. couldn't say a thing mm-hmm. until that child was born. So, anyway.
Glory to God.
So God must have some purpose for that. I have no idea. But anyway, it's amazing that he didn't believe what the angel told him, you know. But you think about when Jesus came to this earth, Yeshua, this was the beginning now. This was the beginning, and we don't have time to go into all of it today, but this was the beginning because he was born on the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles, I believe, from the scriptures. You think about
definitely.
It. Definitely. He was called, what, the light of the world, and he is the light of the world. So he was born at a time of where they have a festival of lights in Tabernacles, and he was conceived in a time called Hanukkah, where they have lights. And guess what? There was a full moon, which is more light, right?
Well, when you think about Hanukkah, which is in... it's coming up in about another month or so.
In the month of Kislev, yeah.
But he was conceived during that time, and that's another 8 days, and that's when he was conceived. And if you go from the first day of Hanukkah to 9 months, you'll come to the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles.
That's right.
Which is now. We're right now in the third or fourth day, and so you will see that, you know, those 9 months takes that time for a baby to grow. And he was born, so he was conceived during a time of lights, mm-hmm. and he was also born during a time of lights. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting, they had to go to Bethlehem to be taxed, but they can see lights in Jerusalem from Bethlehem. It's not that far away. But in the court of the women, when the temple was there, they had in the court of the women, that would be the outer court, the first part you go in, there's to be like four huge pillars. I call them big pillars, or call them lights. So they were 75 feet high, and they made a square. There was one in each corner. Mm-hmm. When you think about the four corners of the earth, how the word would go forth through, the gospel go out through all the four corners of the earth. Well, you say there's not four corners, the earth is round, but four, that's what the Bible says. It means everywhere. It's going to go everywhere. So these lights were 75 feet high. That's very, very high.
And
maybe
four
stories. Mm-hmm. And there were four of them. They made like a square. And the top of these lights, they lit them. There were the young boys or the young men that worked in there, that were part of the priesthood, that were preparing
to be a
priest
yeah.
right? They would go to the top and they would light these, and they stayed lit during the whole time, and they could be seen from all around as being that high. You imagine how bright. And so at the top of them, what they put up there for the wick, this is amazing, it's called swaddling clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And so they would wrap these, and they were like wicks. They'd wrap the top, and they would pour the oil on it, and they would stay lit. And so they would keep those lit, and that was called swaddling clothes.
So where did they get those garments from?
So those swaddling clothes were the priest's garments, the undergarments of the priests. You know, they didn't throw things away. They used them. And it's interesting when we read about Yeshua, it says that he was wrapped in swaddling clothes.
Right.
Well, even at his birth, that's a picture of his priesthood. Mm-hmm. He is a priest. You know, he is a priest. He's a king. He's coming king. And so he was wrapped in these swaddling clothes. And I imagine probably maybe, I don't know if all baby boys or firstborn baby boys were wrapped in swaddling clothes. I don't know. But that's interesting that those lights, those four lights, he's the light that's going to go to the four corners of the earth, and he's going to light every heart that will receive him. And so, and he is the one, the child that was wrapped in these swaddling clothes when he was born and laid in the manger when they were in Bethlehem. So, and of course, the word Bethlehem means house of bread.
Yeah.
And who is the bread of life?
Right, Yeshua.
Yeshua is our bread of life. So, you know, so many things, and the bread starts with, well, B starts with it, is B, you know, he's also that which represents a house. You know, we invite him into ourselves, well, he becomes
our house, yeah.
into our house, into our heart, and so he comes into us, and then we are also in him, just like he said, I'm in God. You know, he was in the Father, and the Father's in me. Mm-hmm. And he only did what the Father told him to do. Well, that should be our example of only doing and saying what the Father tells us to do. So God was with him. He says, God with us. And, you know, it's interesting, they sang, and these angels were declaring to the shepherds. There were shepherds. And that's another way you can prove that it wasn't in the winter, because shepherds aren't out in the field during the winter. This was during the fall, and this is during the season of the harvest of the grapes.
Everything,
things like that.
The major harvest, yes.
Major harvest. It's during the grapes and everything. So, you know, these people that are living in these sukkahs, they'll take food in there. They'll take grapes in there and fruit and you know, pomegranates and things like that. Things that are harvested during this time of the year. So, you know, it's such a awesome picture of what of Jesus being the light of the world.
So you think about it, Pastor Donna. There was four candelabras, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you talked about representing the four corners of the world. Because at one time, the people in the world thought the earth was square, you know? Like, I had four corners.
That's true.
So you had four corners of the world. And also, it's a prophetic showing that Yeshua was going to, the Messiah, the Son of Light, is going to come. Mm-hmm. He is the light of the world. He came on the fourth prophetic day, 4,000 years from the day that Adam was put on the earth. Well, then we think about this also. Why was those candelabras put in the court of the women? I used to ask the Lord about that. He gave me an answer one day. I believe I got from the Holy Ghost. You know why he had them? Had it in the court of the women? Because he was sharing there he was going to have a bride.
Oh, awesome.
He was going to have a bride. So he had it in the women's court. Isn't that amazing?
We are the bride.
We are the bride. That's right. Anyone that comes to Christ right now, you're betrothed to Christ. You're the bride of Christ. So what an amazing picture that God put in place way, 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 way back there. And all those years that the Jewish people celebrated Sukkot and did all those things, and then after Christ came, they still couldn't comprehend the prophetic pictures through all of it about Yeshua. And we might have a chance to talk about it, to share one about the water pouring ceremony here when we're done with this, the basic talking.
Water pouring.
Water pouring.
He's the living water, isn't he?
That's
He's the living water. Well, we're over here in Luke. We'll read a little bit of this. I guess I'll start in verse 4. And Joseph also went up from Galilee and out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. So she was expecting. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes.
Yeah.
And laid him in a manger because there was no room in the inn. The whole place was full of people because people were coming from all over.
No room in the inns. He was in a manger, which was a feeding trough.
And you know, that was meant to be that way. He wasn't supposed to be born. Because
right.
The Jews were looking for somebody that would be born in a castle. But no, he wasn't. He came lowly,
simple way.
Humble, as a man.
Yeah.
And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, or that word would be hey, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Here's your swaddling clothes mentioned again. And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, or they were probably singing, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Jesus brought, didn't he?
Yep.
He brought peace to our heart. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Can you imagine that awesome miracle, having those angels come and sing that, and then seeing them leave and go back to heaven? You know, there are angels. There are still ministering angels that minister to people. These are called ministering angels. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Now this becomes true to them. It's rhema. They see it. It's not just a story, you know. It's not a story. It's true.
Nope, it's an event.
And all they had heard, it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished, this would be Simchat Torah, the last day of Tabernacles, for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus. This is when he was named, when he was circumcised, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb.
Hallelujah. God named him, amen.
God gave him a name. And what does the name Jesus mean, or Yahshua? See, there's really no J in the Hebrew.
Right.
It would be a Y, a Yod. Yahshua, it means Savior.
That's right.
He's our Savior.
Just like Yod Heh Vav Heh.
And when the days of her purification, now that was 40 days later, because a woman had to be 40 days for a man. So Jesus was circumcised on the eighth day, so that was probably still in Bethlehem. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't really tell us who did it, but I would imagine his father. It's because the father's the one who named the child. He's the one who spoke the name forth, just like Zacharias spoke the name forth for John.
Yeah.
So his name was called Jesus when he was circumcised. Now we're going from 8 days to 40 days,
mm-hmm.
just in that one verse, verse 22. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. So they had, this was actually 40 days later. He was 40 days old. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord.
Yes.
And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and two pigeons. Wow.
Right.
So it goes on here, and it just, you know, well, I don't know how much more you want to read. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This is an old man, a prophet. And the man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him.
Yeah.
So the Holy Ghost did come upon
certain
different people.
Yeah.
Came
certain
upon
times,
priests,
yeah.
kings. But you know what? When we're born again, we have the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost is in us. Amen. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he has seen the Lord's Christ. So he knew. He had gotten the word from the Lord that he would see. He would see the Lord.
He might have been part of the priesthood.
He would see the Lord before.
Yeah.
Amen. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. See, he was led by the Holy Ghost, by the mm-hmm. Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. See, they followed the law. They followed the Hebrew law. Then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. He knew he had seen
he
the Lord.
That, yeah.
A little child. Little child shall makes me remind me. A little child shall lead them. A little child spoke. He knew. So he was ready to go on and die, because he had seen the Lord. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, or my eyes have seen thy Yeshua, which is Jesus, which thou hast prepared before the face of all the people. Remember, he came to all the people. We're reading that over in Deuteronomy, that Moses, even the last book of Moses, the next to last book, that God spoke to all the people. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. This is a prophetic word he spoke to her. She didn't understand what was being said.
Yeah.
And for a sign which shall be spoken against, yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul. And that did happen when he was on the cross, didn't it?
Yeah.
She didn't know all these things. But it was a warning. It was something that was given to her that she would ponder all her life. You know, what's to come of this child of mine? That the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. See what would happen. God's hearts. People's hearts were touched. And there was one Anna, a prophetess. She's a prophetess, and she's old too. And she's of the tribe of Asher.
Asher.
She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years. That would be 84 years old.
Yeah.
Which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayer night and day. Well, you know, we need a lot of fasting and prayer for our country right now. We really do, because things are not really very good. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover.
Yep.
Praise the Lord. So it goes on to the next thing that we talk about. I mean, he goes from there. Of course, there's another book which talks about, you know, they had to run from because they killed all the babies that were up to 2 years old, you know, because when the wise men came, you know, they would, the king didn't, he was afraid. But in Luke here, it goes from this time, it goes next thing it talks about is when he was 12 years old. So there's a whole space of time that's not even talked about here in the book of Luke.
That's right.
But other places in the Bible talk about, you know, they had to run into Egypt.
Yeah.
They ran into Egypt and for protection for the child.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about this, Donna. I went over to Mark chapter 1. You know, we're talking about the beginning of this.
Right.
And we know that Yeshua was born at Tabernacles, so this was the very beginning. And in Mark, this is, of course, after he's grown and all, in verse 15, he said this, "The time is fulfilled, or has been fulfilled, we could say, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." So he's telling them the kingdom of God is at hand. Well, who is the kingdom of God? He was there with him. And so this was the very beginning, of course, at his birth, and he had his life, he went through all that, and then we see at the end of all this is going to be end at Tabernacles, and it's the same thought again. It's about Yeshua, when the kingdom will be established at the end of Tabernacles, and all it'll come to an ending. So we have some interesting things here, just by looking at some of this stuff that you have in the Word of God. If we put it all together, we can see exactly what God was trying to say to all of us. And you know, another interesting thing I thought about, as we was talking about that a little bit ago, is, and it's very significant, that Yeshua's family had to seek cover or shelter when they came to Israel and all that. And so there was all the inns we talked about, all like motels, they were all full. So they went into a place where they keep animals in a sukkah due to no room in the inn. This is in Luke chapter 2, verse 7. Donna didn't read that. This verse also mentions the fact that God's son was laid in a manger, and we know a manger is what? It's a feeding trough. He's, you know, thus revealing further, I think, in his birth, in a sukkah or stable where they keep animals. I mean, remember, Yeshua is also what? Our bread of life. It's incredible. So it's a complete picture of what he was wanting, what he came to do, to feed us and to show us what God had said was going to happen about the kingdom of God, about his birth, about the whole thing was I was going to, and he's going to give to us at the end. Hallelujah. So we got so much to be thankful for with this, and we know that Yeshua fulfilled all this. And you thinking about it, it wouldn't surprise me at all if God saw to it that his only begotten son would be born on the first day of Tabernacles. Another possibility revolving around the Savior's birth is that a Jewish son was always circumcised, as Donna talked about, on the eighth day. Since the eighth day of Tabernacles is called rejoicing in the Torah, could it be that God planned this from the foundation of the earth, that his son would be circumcised on this day, revealing two things? First, his covenant with his people, Israel. Circumcision was the token sign of that covenant. Second, his son is the Word of God. Consequently, since the eighth day is a prophetic overview of the new heavens and the new earth, which will be established at the beginning of the eighth day, at the end of the millennial kingdom. Therefore, the saints, you and I, will be forever rejoicing in the Torah. And we must always remember that the Feast of Tabernacles consists of 7 days. We've talked about this so much over the years, which are prophetically revealing God's complete 7,000-year program to restore mankind and the earth back to the way it was in the beginning. I mentioned that earlier. God also added the eighth day to reveal his eternal kingdom from that time on. And that's revealed in Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And so we have all of this. He's shown us all these things that we might understand what God's trying to share with us to know more about the Messiah. Now, we mentioned a while ago some of the prophetic implications that we have. And we have some ceremonies that happens or happened back then. I don't know whether they're doing it today or not in Israel. During Tabernacles that reveal some things about the Messiah. And they had one in particular called the House of the Water Pouring. And before all the appointed times, the priesthood would go through the first covenant, and they look up all the scriptures that had anything to do about water, because water was a metaphor for the Spirit of God. And so the ceremony they did was conducted every day during the festival, or this feast, okay? I'll see if we can get this in. We got about 9 minutes to go. So at the time of the special Sukkot offerings, the priest assigned to perform the function set about gathering all the sacrifices. And where did they come from? Most of them from Bethlehem, where Yeshua was born. A second group of priests were sent out to the eastern gate of the temple to the Valley of Matzah. There they cut willow tree branches at least 25 feet in length. The priests then aligned themselves shoulder to shoulder in several rows, approximately 30 feet apart. At a signal, they each stepped forward on the right foot, swinging the willow branches to the left in
That's
unison,
right.
all together. As they stepped forward on the left foot, the willows were swung to the right. Made me think about in the military. Your right, your left, you know. But they were swinging these willow branches back and forth. Thus, they proceeded toward Jerusalem. The waving of the willow branches produced the effect of a rushing wind, which is a picture of the Spirit again, approaching the temple. Meanwhile, the high priest and his assistant had left the temple from the water gate, went to the Pool of Siloam, through the water gate to the Pool of Siloam, which means what? Sent. And retrieved a vase of water known as living water. This water was placed into a golden vessel while the assistant priest held a silver vessel full of wine. As the priest in the Valley of Matzah started back to the temple, so did the group from the Pool of Siloam. As each party of the priest approached their respective gates, a shofar was blown. They blew a shofar. And then a single flute began to play. The priest with the sacrifices ascended the altar, placing the animals on the fire. Those priests with the willows circled the altar seven times, waving them. And then they laid their willow branches against the base of the altar, forming a sukkah over the top of the altar. Then the high priest and his assistant also ascended the altar, pouring out the water and the wine on the sacrifice. As this was done, the people sang Isaiah 12:3, which says this, "Therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation." Hallelujah. And you know, we haven't got over there yet. Maybe next week we might do this. But in John chapter 7, it's all about the Feast of Tabernacles. And if we read John 7, 37 through 39, it reveals all this. And it was on the last day of Tabernacles that Yeshua cried out in his prophetic word, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow up rivers of living water." Even in John's revelation, the same thing in chapter 22, verse 17, reveals the same thought. Woo. So before the Feast of Tabernacles, as I mentioned, the rabbis taught every scripture dealing with anything about water pouring or water, living water, etc. And then in John 8, 2, it is the day following Sukkot that Yeshua is found in the women's court of the temple and all that, and it's on the eighth day. It's called Rejoicing in the Torah. And this is when he also said what? "I am the light of the world."
Amen.
So we have so much. It's all about light. You know, he was born at a time of light. He was conceived at a time of light and festival. He was born at lights, okay, with a ceremony with lights. And it was a full moon, all revealing the glory of God and that Yeshua was going to be the light of the world. And you know, I thought we might say this before we close. There's six different themes about the Feast of Tabernacles. It's very important that people don't realize, but you can study these things. There are six themes and idioms connected with Sukkot. You know, when Jesus said, "You won't know the day nor the hour," that was an idiom. The first thing that Jewish people thought about, hey, we're looking for a new moon, because it was going to be one of 2 days. All right, so it's called the season of, number one, it's called the season of our joy. Donna read about the angels singing and all that. The season of our joy. How, that's when he came, and when the king, you know, he came at Tabernacles, and the kingdom will be set up at that time, the season of our joy. The second thing is to call the Festival of Ingathering. This is in Exodus 23, 14 through 17. We read that a moment ago. Number three, the Feast of the Nations. This is in Zechariah 14 and Numbers 29 about the Feast of the Nations. We didn't talk about it completely, but there was 70 bulls that were killed during Tabernacles to represent the 70 nations that there were in the beginning. Each day they added to that. It was a total of 70 nations during that time. And you add up all the sacrifices that was given. It's in the Bible. It shows that the number has to be divisible by 7. So 7 into those numbers, that 180, I think it was, it comes out to 26. That's God's number. His gematria is 27. Yod Heh Vav Heh is the number 26. Isn't that amazing? So that's the first three. Then the fourth one, it's called the Festival of Dedication. This is when the temple was dedicated in the first covenant over in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. It was done in Tabernacles. The fifth thing, it's called the Feast of the Water Pouring. We just discussed it. It's revealed in John chapter 7, verses 1 through 11. And then we have the Festival of the Water Pouring. We just talked about that, John 7, 37 through 39. So the Feast of Dedication was in Chronicles 7, chapter 7 also. All these sevens in it. And then the eighth one is the Festival of Lights, as John 8:12 revealed when Yeshua said, I am the light of the world. So we're all part of him, aren't we, Pastor Donna?
Amen.
So we're supposed to be the light of the world. We're down to about 3.5 minutes here. The time goes by so fast.
And people need to go back and read in Luke 1.
That's right.
Where Mary was visited. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and she did ask questions. Mm-hmm. But you know what she says over here? We don't have time to read the whole thing. But in verse 31, he says, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy mm-hmm. womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Yeshua. Here we have the name given to him, right?
That's right.
Which means Savior. And he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob or Israel forever. That's Olam. And for his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is her sixth month with her, she who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible.
That's right.
God's the same today.
Hallelujah.
And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. She didn't argue. She said, be it unto me. Sure. Well, we're just so blessed to be here and to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles.
Hallelujah.
I hope you come and celebrate with us. If you don't, go in and read and find out the truth of God's
study
word.
Study to show yourself
study,
approved.
Because
yeah,
Jesus,
God.
This is when Yeshua was really born. Not in, during December, not during pagan times that the church has put on, put added to the Bible. We don't want to add or subtract. We want the truth. So just we thank the Lord for you, and we just ask the Lord to bless you and that you would know the truth. And the King James Bible says the truth will make you free.
Free, yes.
So we want to be free. We want to know the truth. We followed a lie for many years in our own lives. But we know the truth, and so
it came
we
out
want,
from among them.
We want to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, the truth of when Yeshua really was born.
That's right.
So we are here every Saturday, Lord willing, and also on the internet. You can listen to this again. You can tell your friends and neighbors. We have services here on Sunday tomorrow, on the first day of the week, at 11 a.m. in the morning. So come and celebrate with us, and come and visit our sukkah this weekend.
We have all set
our
up.
Our phone
yet.
Number here is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for the truth.
That's right.
God's
so we're
word.
Honored to be here with you.
Amen.
And we hope you receive something and
are
blessed with what you heard, because this truth will truly make you free.
Amen.
So as we close the program, we're honored to be here. So we tell you to look up, because your redemption draws nigh. And what do we say, Pastor?
Shabbat shalom, Sabbath peace, and rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives. And remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of prophecy.